Barb, what kind of car did Jesus drive? A Chrysler. Hey. Yeah. Let's pray. Should have prayed before that, yeah. Lord, we come before you. We lift this time, this message up to you. We put them into your hands. Do your will with them. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts and change us. Whatever is not, let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to have to speak louder. If you can't hear me, tell me to speak up. Apparently our system has, we plugged a tree in and lost a mic. Last time I preached, we looked at opportunity cost, which is an economic phrase, and the kingdom of heaven, which basically means whatever you invest in one thing cannot be invested in anything else. You can't invest your life in both the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of men. You cannot diversify the investment of your soul. All of our eggs end up in one basket or the other. We can't invest just a little in the kingdom of heaven just in case hell is real. And we can't invest just a little in the kingdom of men just in case heaven is not. We can't afford the kingdom of heaven only on Christmas, Easter, baptisms, weddings, and funerals, so that we can comfortably invest the rest of our lives in the things of this world. We can't play for both teams at the same time. Now, the thing about investing your life in the kingdom of heaven is that you have to be wise enough to appreciate long-term investment. You have to be able to discern true value and understand that true value is always worth waiting for. Now, when I was a child, I made it known to anyone and everyone who would listen to me what I wanted for Christmas. The object of my desire changed from year to year. My wish list from last year's Christmas was no longer valid, not even remembered. Back then, I couldn't have told you what would happen to the things that I had to have the year before. They're gone. It was most likely broken or disregarded in favor of some other trinket I just couldn't live without. But I do recall someone gave me a savings bond for Christmas. At that time, I viewed such a gift as a lump of coal incognito. I would have thrown away 1,000 savings bond to get one Hot Wheel car or that Johnny Magumba action rifle with scope and plastic bullets. I didn't understand long-term value. And even when I began to understand it, I didn't care much about it. Time and time again, I invested my life in short-term things. As I grew older, I began to see that none of these short-term offerings had any lasting value. If I didn't eventually disregard them, they would eventually disregard me. I began to understand the value of a savings bond. I realized that anything that was not invested in the kingdom of heaven was a waste of my time, energy, and money. I began to understand the words of Jim Elliot, who said, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Perhaps if I turn this around a little, it'll hit a little closer to home. He who gives up what he cannot lose for what he cannot keep is a fool. And the word fool is powerful in Scripture, by the way, and it uses that word several times when dealing with this. Now, in economics, a short-term investment is generally considered to be anything less than a year. Long-term is any investment more than a year. But in the spiritual realm, in the kingdom of heaven, short-term could be as much as 100 years. However, long-term means forever. The difference is the time your life exists versus the time your soul exists. Investing anything in your life here is short term. Investing in your soul there is long term. Because your soul does not end, it is wise to invest your life in your soul's future and fortune. Don't allow desire to overwhelm prudence. What you invest in immediate gratification cannot be invested in eternal assurance. Now, I'm not saying to act unwisely in the temporal. Do what is yours to do to care for yourself and to care for others. The book of Proverbs is full of truths about gaining and prospering in the temporal. They're all valid. They're all true. What I'm saying is keep the temporal within an eternal perspective. When it comes to the temporal, be good at it. Enjoy it. But don't place any faith in it. Don't count on it. Jesus spoke to this in Mark 8:36-37. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Brothers and sisters, this will end. You will not. You will stand before God and give an account, not only for what you did, but for what you did not do. How you invested yourself. You give an account for where you invested your life. You will answer for what you wanted the most. What you invest your time, thoughts, money, and emotions into. What you cared about instead of caring about your eternal soul. Now there appears to be an assumption within verse 36. You cannot gain the whole world without forfeiting your soul. Remember Jesus' words, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. He wasn't kidding. He was serious. The soul is all that matters. Everything else is an illusion. The only importance to any temporal thing is how it impacts the fate of your eternal soul. How it affects your eternity. Regarding the soul, Jim Packer wrote it this way. Your soul is yours. It's your conscious personal self. The I that knows itself as me. Your soul is the identity that makes you who you really are. It is the seat of your memory and your feelings and your imagination and your convictions and your desires and your affections. I like to put it this way. The soul is what a person is. The spirit is something a person has. Now, as we talk about this, there's another fundamental rule of investing, of economics, that should be noted as because it applies directly right here. And it goes like this. Never invest anything you cannot afford to lose. You may have heard it said, don't gamble with anything that you cannot afford to lose. Well, if it's not the kingdom of heaven, it's a gamble. You cannot afford to lose your soul. Don't gamble with it or exchange it for any or even every temporal thing. But brothers and sisters, we gamble with our soul's eternal value because we are deluded by the notion of an abundance of time. Why worry about eternity now? I got time. I'll deal with it. The older we get, the more that illusion fades. I'll invest short term now because I have time to invest in the long term later. I can have my flesh and my spirit too. As we saw last time, opportunity cost tells us that's impossible. Scripture makes it very clear that time is not something that we should assume, count on, or gamble with. From Luke 12, two separate passages, 15 through 20 first. And he said to them, beware, warning, danger, Will Robinson. Be on your guard against every form of greed. When one has an abundance, does his life consist of his possessions? And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning with himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? I got so much money, I don't know what to do with it. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I will store up my grain and my goods. Really no problem up till there. It's the next one. I will say to my soul, to my eternal value, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. God said to him, you fool. This very night, your soul is required of you. And now, who will own what you've prepared? A little bit later, in 45 through 46, he gives another one. But if that slave says in his heart, my master will be a long time in coming, what do I got to worry about? And begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, and to eat, drink, and get drunk. Because of a perception of a long time to answer, he abuses others. Uses them for his own good, and then he indulges himself. The master of that slave will come one day when he does not expect him. In an hour he does not know. And will cut him to pieces and assign him with a place with the unbelievers. You see, brothers and sisters, spiritually, there is no wise short-term investment. Yet we offer up our souls for a bag of rocks that is labeled eat, drink, and be merry. Or as we call it now, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Same thing. No, none of these things is wrong in and of themselves. It's when we value them more than the will of God, when we're willing to sin to get them, that we jeopardize our souls. When we despise the savings bond that God offers us, tossing aside for things that will not outlast you. When we put aside investing in the word and the will of God to invest in pleasure, escape, self-indulgence, temporal power, worldly respect, and meaningless importance, we gamble with our souls. We gamble with eternity. All of us will lose our lives, but according to Scripture, only the truly foolish will lose their souls. It's dumb. When we allow our pride to be our investment advisor instead of the Word of God, things will not end well. Throughout your life, you will be tempted by your pride and Satan to exchange your eternal soul for things that mean nothing. Scripture puts it this way from Isaiah 65:17, "For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former things," stuff, "will not be remembered or even come to mind." Now, I've been told that you remember what's important to you. I still remember the phone number from a pizza shop I used to go to 20 years ago. Show's birthday's in June sometime. Yeah. There will come a time when all this stuff we strive for, that you worry about getting, will mean so little to you that you won't even remember them. Like the long-forgotten debris of Christmas's past. The wise investor sees this before the world passes away. As Paul said, "I count all things as loss right now in the view of knowing the surpassing value of Christ." No thing, nor even all things, offer a better return than Jesus Christ. Ecclesiastes 5:15 through 16 says, And he had come naked from his mother's womb, so he returned as he came. He will take nothing from the fruit of his labor that he carried in his hand. This also is a grievous evil, a thing I don't understand. Exactly as a man is born, thus he will die. So what advantage to him who toils for the wind? Now here's some insider information for investing from Scripture. Death is a universal, pre-existing condition. You're born with that condition. Whatever you accumulate here will be consumed by it. Hebrews 9:27 says, "Inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment." It's appointed. Now, age should help you understand true value. The older they get, the more you should understand the value of your soul and the value of eternity. And I have never felt more foolish than when I still catch myself investing my life and time into the temporal. I know better. And I never feel dumber than when I catch myself doing that, worrying about something that means nothing. It's very uncomfortable to listen to an old fool, one who learned nothing and is still investing themselves in worldly things, one who still chases vanity, who still cares more about what the world thinks of them than God Almighty, one who still trades peace for anger, righteousness for money, or eternal glory for temporal power. Jesus gives a warning in Matthew 6:19 through 21, "Do not store up treasures for yourself on earth, where the moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal." He's telling you what the outcome is going to be. "But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal, For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So put your treasure in heaven and your heart will be in heaven. Your heart will follow. These verses are part of the Sermon on the Mount. They come just after the Lord's Prayer. Jesus had just stated that when we do spiritual things, don't seek worldly honor for doing them. Don't try to incorporate the temporal into the eternal. It's rancid. He told them, when you fast, don't do it in such a way as to gain the respect of men, but of God. You cannot have both motives. Pride and humility, one excludes the other. Everything you do will be for one or the other. We have to decide which return we're investing in. It's a conscious decision. The notice of men or the notice of God. Our flesh demands immediate reward and gratification. Our spirit is content and at peace with the promises of God in eternity. And a daily battle rages between the two for all of us. Look around the room. What you're seeing is multiple battlefields in which the immediate wars with the eternal. None of us is exempt. And Scripture makes it clear where we should invest our assets. Jesus tells us here, the temporal earthly treasure is diminished and diluted by nature, by time, and by men. You can't keep it. He tells us to invest instead in the kingdom of heaven and the eternal. He says, if you choose to do this, your treasure is secure in heaven, where it cannot be lost and it will last forever. A pension fund for your soul. In Luke 12, Jesus says that the man who stores up treasure for himself is not rich towards God. And it makes the point that wherever, whatever we store up here will one day soon be completely lost. Jesus goes on to tell us to sell what we have and give it to charity and gain an unfailing treasure in heaven. It's treasure now, it'll be treasure then, it'll be treasure forever. And we balk at this because we can't see it or touch it now. It's like the bond that you get to cash only when you die. But here's the thing. You're going to die. No doubt about it. You're going to join the majority one day. Nobody makes it out of here alive. Look around the room. Everyone you see is in their temporary condition. Every one of us here soon won't be. And everyone you knew, saw, spoke to, or even passed by will all eventually be gone. Then it'll be somebody else's turn to walk the same path, to learn the same lessons in the exact same way. All memories of you will fade quickly into time. There will come a point when no one will be left here that knew you. Everyone here and everything here that was your life will blow away like a fallen leaf will fall, tumbling through your yard in a slight breeze. Thing is, after that leaf blows through your yard, it blows into God's. And He gathers them all up. And all that you did here follows you into eternity. When the books are opened, your heavenly bank account will be opened with them. It will show you what you spent your treasure on that no longer exists. Or He will show you what you invested in that is now maturing, that is now yours. And brothers and sisters, it's just like the wedding at Canaan. God provides the finest wine at the end. Jonathan Edwards said it this way, it becomes us to spend this life only as a journey towards heaven, to which we should subordinate all other concerns of life. Why would she labor for or set our hearts or anything else but that which is proper and true happiness? Scripture offers us some solid long-term investing advice. Ecclesiastes 12, 6 or 8. I may have told you before, once a month, if you're over 50, open the book up and read this chapter. If you're under 50, twice a month, open up this book and read this chapter. Remember him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed. The pitcher by the well is shattered and the wheel of the cistern is crushed. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. A.W. Tozer wrote something profound that applies here. It goes like this. When the Lord lays his hands upon a man or woman, that man ceases at once to be ordinary. He immediately becomes extraordinary, and his life takes on cosmic significance. The angels in heaven take notice of him and go forth to become his ministers, though the man had before only been one of the faceless multitudes, a mere cipher in the universe, an invisible dust grain blown across the endless waste. Now he gets a face and a name and a place in the scheme of meaningful things. Christ knows his own sheep by name. There are no unknown Christians, no insignificant sons of God. Each one signifies. Each one is a sign, drawing the attention of the triune God day and night upon him. The faceless man has a face. The nameless man has a name. When Jesus Christ picks him out of the multitude and calls him to himself. Know this. Live for this. Let that guide you. Invest in the kingdom of heaven, as the kingdom of heaven has invested in you, as we just read. It's what it's done for you. If you get no return, invest in it. But you do. Eating, drinking, and being merry will fade from our minds like the toys of Christmas past. When our life is gone, our souls will reap the reward that will not fade. As Peter admonishes us in 1 Peter 4:3, for the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desires of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. The time that's past is sufficient. It's time to commit fully to your eternal soul. Long term. Burn the ship that brought you here, so that you'll never be tempted to return to where you came from. For most of us here, the time that has passed is sufficient. Store up your treasures in heaven, and you will never be disappointed. Amen.